of God, and I think you'll learn some things today that'll really, really make a difference in your life. And Wednesday night, we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and we were talking in particular about special faith, and we talked about what happened to Daniel in the lion's den. And just about everybody who's ever been to church, and a lot of people who've never been to church, know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. But more importantly, what does that experience have to teach us? And there are a lot of things that you can glean from the life of Daniel. He had an excellent spirit about him. He was faithful in everything that he did. We know that he honored God. He was a praying man. But he got in trouble for doing the right thing, ended up in the den of lions, a den of hungry lions. And all of us know the story. But I always look at that story this way: what does that mean to my life, and how can I apply these principles so that when I get in trouble, I get delivered? Okay, we'll do. Thank you. And, one of the points that we made Wednesday night was, don't go into the lion's den if you haven't been faithful. It may not go well with you. Amen? So we can learn some things from those lessons. So what we do in the children's ministry is we break these lessons down so that the kids can understand it on their level. Amen? All right, Ephesians chapter 6, we're continuing the series on the armor of God, and we're going to read the passage that we've used as a foundation in all of these lessons. And if you would just follow along with me, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Paul, writing to a Gentile church in Ephesus, said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." Notice this expression: "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, there are some things that we have emphasized in this series so far, and this is lesson number 4, I believe. But the first thing that we've emphasized again and again and again is that phrase that you find 3 times in this passage. You find it in verse 11, verse 13, and verse 16, "that you may be able." That you may be able. That you may be able. We all understand and acknowledge that God is able, but that's not the issue. Yes, God is able, but what about you? See, many times we have the impression that if we just sit back, do nothing, that God will take care of all of our issues and problems for us, and that's not what the Bible teaches. You know, and there have been people who've said, well, you know, the Bible says, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory shall be mine. Well, you're taking that scripture out of its context. In all of the battles that Israel fought, you'll only find once or twice when God said, don't say anything, or He would send the praisers to the front to fight the battle. Every other encounter that they had to physically fight. And so for you as a Christian to think that just because you're saved, everything's going to be all right, or God will fix it after a while, you are sadly mistaken. We are instructed to take unto us the whole armor of God, to put on and duo, just like you got up this morning and made a conscious decision to put something on so that you could look nice when you came out on Sunday morning. You must do that with this spiritual armor. You must make a conscious decision to put it on so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God's not the issue. We're talking about you. Yes, God is able, but what about you? If you'll learn to put on the whole armor of God, you'll be able to stand and fight and win. Now, whether you leave your house dressed in the spiritual armor of God or leave your house unprotected is not up to God. It's up to you.
Amen.
Amen? Does everybody understand that point?
Amen.
We've emphasized it time and time again. It's our responsibility to put on the armor of God. That phrase in verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, analambano, means to pick up again. Well, if something can be picked up again, it can also be put down. And if your armor's in your closet way in the back behind them clothes you didn't wear last summer, it's not God's fault. Amen? All right. Last week we talked about the armor of God, and Paul used the illustration of a Roman soldier. And the Romans were the dominant military force on the planet at that time. They had conquered the known world, Jerusalem and Israel and even Ephesus and these Gentile nations, or I should say cities that were in Asia Minor, were also under Roman occupation. So Paul's using the illustration of a Roman soldier. And as we said last week, the first and most important part of the armor he mentions is the loin belt or the belt of truth. From that belt that went around the waist of the Roman soldier, most of the other armor was attached to it. And that belt is the truth of God's word. And so we've got to understand that if we're going to successfully be dressed in the armor of God, all of the armor emanates from the Word of God. God's Word is so important. As Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, you'll truly be my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Amen.
Jesus did not say, if you shout loud and long, you'll be free. Jesus didn't say, if you learn to dance real good, you'll be free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll really be my disciple, and you'll know the truth, and the truth that you know because you continue in the word will make you free.
Amen.
Everything that we do in our life for Christ must emanate, must have a basis in what the word teaches. Amen?
Amen.
So that's the most important part of the armor. Now, last week we also talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We'll touch upon that again a little later in this lesson. But I want you to go with me, if you would, to the Old Testament. Keep your finger in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go to the Old Testament, and I want to show you something that has great significance. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Keep your finger in Ephesians 6. We're going to touch upon this verse in Isaiah chapter 9, and I'm going to show you something about how powerful this next piece of armor is and how it is to be used. And I want to show you something about the ministry of Jesus that perhaps you didn't know before. Isaiah chapter 9, and because this is the Christmas season, this is a very familiar passage to many of us, but let's shed a little light on this verse so you understand something about what Jesus has done for you. Isaiah chapter 9, we'll look at verse 6 and 7. Very classic verse of Scripture that we often quote this time of year. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Notice this phrase, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth ever forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, Isaiah, some hundreds of years before Jesus was born, wrote this by the Holy Spirit and told us that unto us a child would be born. And he went on to describe some of the aspects of this child. And we know that child was Messiah, Jesus. But notice what he said. His name would be called Wonderful,
yes.
Counselor,
yes.
The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince,
yes,
of Peace.
Yes.
Now, that word prince is a Hebrew word, sar. And actually that phrase is sar shalom. He is the Prince of peace. Now, we think of prince, we think of, you know, like the movie that came out several years ago, The Prince of Egypt, you know, somebody who's the son of the king. Well, the word sar literally means the captain or the governor of something. So Jesus is the captain or the chief or the governor of peace. Now, here's where the great blessing comes in. When we think of peace, we think of peace incorrectly. We think of peace as the absence of conflict. You know, if we're not at war, we're at peace, right? Who was it, Tolstoy or somebody wrote that great classic, War and Peace? Well, we figure, well, if you're not at war, you're at peace. If you're at peace, you're not at war. Well, this Hebrew word for peace, shalom, does not mean the absence of conflict. It has a much broader definition than just absence of conflict. The word shalom means peace, safety, welfare, health, and prosperity. All of those things are wrapped up in that one word, shalom. And so when a person of Jewish descent says shalom as a greeting, they're not just saying be absent from conflict. They're saying may God keep you safe. May God surround you with His peace. May God take care of you. May He bless you with health and bless you so that you prosper. Now, the word prosper means to thrive, succeed, and do well. So don't think when I say prosper, you know, some people think, you know, you say prosper, they think Bentley, you know, blah, you know, had nothing to do with what you drive. Are you with me? Had nothing to do with what you drive or how many bedrooms are in your house. It means having more than enough, all right, and being blessed. So Jesus, in His exalted ministry now, we all know that Jesus has accomplished redemption. He ascended to the Father. He's seated at God's right hand. And now He is the captain of shalom, or the prince of peace, safety, welfare, health, and prosperity. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at this piece of the armor. And this will excite you, I guarantee you. Ephesians chapter 6, notice verse 15. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said this. Well, I'll go to verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We talked about that last week. Having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, peace is an awesome weapon. And we often don't think of it that way. But peace is an awesome weapon, not only defensive, but it's also an offensive weapon in your spiritual life. Now, again, Paul using the illustration of a Roman soldier. A Roman soldier had specific gear for his feet. The first part was a sheath made out of brass that went above the knee, surrounded his leg, and went down to the top of the foot. Now, what's the significance of that? That enabled the Roman soldier to go through rough terrain without injuring himself. You know, there are times in life when you'll go through tough places. You need the peace of God to protect you. And so if he was climbing a rocky cliff, those jagged edges would hit the greaves of brass and would not scar up and bang up and ding up his legs. Are you with me? Then on the bottom of the foot, it was also, the shoe was made out of brass, and it was tied tightly to the foot with some durable leather straps. But there's something about the shoes of a Roman soldier that were quite significant. They had spikes on the bottom that were anywhere from 1 to 3 inches long. Now, that served a dual purpose. In battle, the Roman soldier would be able to hold his ground. Now, listen, warfare is not pretty. Hand-to-hand combat was nasty. And many times, if you're standing in the midst of a battle scene, there's blood, there's everything all over the ground, unfortunately. And if you're not careful, if you don't hold your footing, you can easily slip. One of the tactics of ancient armies back then in hand-to-hand combat, and Sister Earl, if you would stand, and I don't mean any disrespect to you at all.
You know I love you, sister.
Watch this. But when you're fighting your enemy, one of the tactics, now here's the thing you got to understand. Remember when I said the devil don't play fair and he don't play games? Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing is true in warfare and battle. Right. Many times these men would face each other in battle and they would go for the legs. Mm-hmm. Try to break the opponent's legs. Swing a sword and boom, break the leg or kick them in the leg. And what happens when your leg is broken? You go down. And when you go down, your head is right there where they can, with one swift stroke, separate your head from your shoulders. And so they gained an advantage by doing damage to your legs. Thank you, Sister Cheryl. I would never do that to you. You know that. I often have fun. I always say, you know, I've never hit my wife unless she hit me first. Now, you have to understand, my wife comes from a family of athletes, you know, and I didn't know much about them, you know, all these wrestlers. And so when we first got married, you know, hey, you know, I used to tease her. I said, yeah, you used to be a car. You're not a car anymore. You're young now. She said, that's all right. I still take you down. Suffice it to say, she did. So that girl was stronger than I thought. Remember, we were playing around one time. Girl threw me across the room. I'm like, whew. Anyway, get back to my lesson. The Roman soldier had these greaves of brass that covered from the knee down to the top of the foot, and then his shoes were bound tightly on top, and they were made out of brass but held together with leather and little spikes on the bottom. Now, those spikes were designed so he could hold his ground in battle. If his opponent strikes him below the knee, he's protected. And there are times when Roman soldiers had to march into areas that were pretty inhospitable. I mean, thorns and things, you know, and life is such. I wish I could tell you that if, you know, you come to Jesus, everything will be okay. You're never going to have a problem. I'm sorry. You're going to be challenged. Amen. We all are, and we all will be. But God will protect you if you learn how to put on the shoes of peace, so that when you're going through those thorny places in life, you don't come out the other end all bruised and dented and scratched up. You're not brought to your knees by the enemy so that he can strike you with a fatal blow. But you come through it like nothing ever happened. Are you with me? The shoes of peace. Now, when it says here, and there's some words, let's define these words. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, that word shod is a Greek word that means to bind under. It's literally hupodiomai, and it means under to bind. And what that tells us is simply this, that we need to have peace as a firm position in our life. Remember when you were a little kid and your mama taught you how to tie your shoes? What did mama always tell you to do? Make sure you tie them tight. Mm-hmm. All right? If you don't tie them tight, they're liable to come off. And the same thing is true with the peace of God. We have to have peace as a firm foundation in our lives, because there are times we will go through rough places. There are times when the enemy's going to come at us and the first thing he's going to go for is your legs. Mm-hmm. Have the peace of God in a dominant position in your life and watch how God will bring you through to victory. Now, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word preparation is another Greek word, etoi mason. And that word etoi mason means solidity or firmness, but literally it means having a good, solid foundation. Having a good, solid foundation. Now, it was important in battle that a Roman soldier, when he's in the midst of a fight, have a firm footing. Because you've got a lot of things going on. You've got a shield. You've got a sword. You've got a guy and maybe several guys around you trying to take you out. You need a firm footing. And many times in life, we face the adversary and circumstances, and they will attempt to move you off of what you know to be the truth. And many times the enemy will come at you and he'll assault your mind.
Yes.
With thoughts and suggestions. You've prayed the prayer of faith. You're believing God's word. Now all of a sudden he's going to assault you and say, well, you know, God's not going to do that for you. What makes you think God's going to do that for you? It didn't happen for the other guy. See, what's he trying to do? Trying to get you to move from your position.
My God.
But if you have on your feet the shoes of peace, you can hold your ground.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah.
If peace has a firm foundation in your life, then from that firm foundation, you can walk in faith, being confident in spite of what you see and what you feel, because you're walking in the peace of God. Your feet are firmly planted. Are you with me? So the shoes of peace are important. Now, not only are those shoes good for establishing a firm foundation in your life, but remember I said it's an awesome defensive weapon, firmness, ability to hold your ground, but they're also an awesome offensive weapon. Because when you're wearing those brass shoes of feet, when your enemy falls before you, brother, all you got to do is step on him. Are you with me? Step on him. And you do a lot of damage when you step on him. But God's viewpoint is that we walk in the peace of God, knowing and assured that the enemy's position is truly under our feet.
Amen.
Amen? Truly under our feet. And so they serve a dual purpose. Now, when peace is foundational in our lives, we have a firm footing. A foundation so sure that we can move out confident in faith and not be moved by what we see or what we hear. Because you're walking in the peace of God. Now, let me show you something about peace. Turn with me in your Bibles back up to Romans chapter 5. And we're going to look at two aspects of peace. Peace. Now, in the Hebrew, the word shalom, meaning peace, safety, welfare, health, and prosperity. In the New Testament Greek, it's a Greek word, eirene. And we're going to look at this word and look at two different aspects of peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We're only going to look at one verse. Notice this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you're born again, when you hear the gospel, make a decision to invite Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and your Savior, you then have peace with God. I remember when I got saved, I was 12 years old. I was at a Billy Graham crusade in Pittsburgh. And I heard Billy Graham preach the gospel. Now listen to me, I'd been in church since I was a little boy. And had never had anybody preach the gospel to me like that. Just simply said, I needed a Savior. I needed Jesus to come into my heart. And I needed to believe on Him by faith. I remember sitting in the stands of that stadium with my mother and my brother and my sister. And I never will forget it. He gave the invitation. And, you know, if you ever watch the old Billy Graham crusades, they start playing Just As I Am without one plea. And I told my mother, I said, I got to go down there. I got to go down there. And she said, well, go ahead. You know, she was with me 100%. That's why she took me. And at 12 years old, I went down on the football field at Pitt Stadium and gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And when I made that commitment, confessed Jesus as my Lord, it was like a 10-ton weight lifted off my shoulders. Are you with me? What happened? I was reborn. My spirit was reborn, and now I had peace with God. Now, here's something I want you to see. Notice this. Remember last week we talked about righteousness. I want you to see this. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Being justified by faith. What does the word justified mean? It means to be declared righteous. How are we declared righteous? By faith in Jesus Christ. Now, so many people think righteousness is something you earn. That's why they always go around talking and saying stuff like this. Well, you know, we're just all sinners saved by grace. They don't understand righteousness. Now, this will help you to understand righteousness. And I'm going to pick a couple people out of the... Brother Coleman, I want to ask you a question. Very simple. Multiple choice. Are you male or female?
I'm male.
You're male. Are you sure? I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Will your wife attest that he's a male? Okay, you got a witness. That's good enough for me. All right, I'm going to ask Brother Devin back there. Devin?
Yes, sir.
Male or female?
Male.
You're sure?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. Teresa, you'll attest? He's a male. Now, both of you men, I want to ask you a question. How'd you get that way? God made you that way? Somebody said it. You were born that way. You were born that way. Now, this verse gives us a key. Therefore, being justified by faith, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God. When do you become the righteousness of God in Christ? You're born again that way.
Amen.
When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you become the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen.
You become a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new.
Amen.
Amen. And if you understand righteousness, you ain't confused about who you are.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
You know, there's some folks in life, male, female, they're not sure.
Amen.
But not when it comes to righteousness.
Amen.
You are born again, righteous, justified. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. You become the righteousness of God in Him. You're a new man. Put that breastplate on. Quit leaving it in the closet.
Amen.
Every time you go around talking about, well, you know, I'm just an old sinner, your breastplate's back at the house. I'm telling you. And all the enemy has to do is strike you in a vital organ and he's going to take you down. Because you have no concept of what Jesus did in his redemptive work. So now, through faith in Christ, we have peace with God. I'm no longer alienated from him. I'm no longer an enemy of God. Now I'm part of the family.
Amen?
Amen. I call him Father. He calls me Son. So now I have relationship. There's not only communication, but there's distribution, there's relationship. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We've talked about peace with God. I'm going to show you another facet of peace, and this is what we need to understand in order to walk in victory, to be dressed in the whole armor of God. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And notice a couple verses, verses 6 and 7. Remember, the scripture says, and having your feet shod to bind under with the preparation or the foundation of peace. Notice Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. Now that word careful doesn't mean to exercise caution. It is a word that could be better translated, don't be anxious or worried. It is a Greek word, marimna, and it means to have anxiety. So be careful or anxious or worried for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, notice this, with thanksgiving.
Yes.
Thanksgiving is the bridge between believing and having. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, not peace with God, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Peace, the peace of God. Now that word irene, which is translated peace here, simply means a prevailing peace or an overwhelming peace. It's something that just goes beyond understanding. Now, when we understand the peace of God, it's a peace that prevails. It implies the blessing of God will be so strong and so effective in your life that this conquering force will enable you to live your life in such a way that it removes all the former chaos and all the mess. You know what I mean? Because you're walking in the peace of God. And it'll replace it with instead of having all the chaos and turmoil in your life, you'll have a peace that prevails.
Amen.
In every area
Amen.
Of your life.
Amen.
And if we can learn to walk in the peace of God, man, I'm telling you, that's you got your armor on. Amen? Amen. Now, that'll enable you when you face difficulties in life, and I've been there. I remember a couple of years ago, my wife got a bad diagnosis from the doctor, and she had to have surgery. And rather than sweating bullets and questioning God, you know, the peace of God just came on me.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I thought, glory to God, we win. This is going to be all right.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And, you know, and so I remember the day she had her surgery, man, there are folks in the waiting room and they're all broke up and all distressed. And I'm just sitting there cool reading a book.
Amen.
What else am I going to do? I believe God. We're doing what we know how to do. And, you know, the surgeon came out and said, hey, it was successful. We got on. I said, well, praise the Lord. You know, amen. That's what we expected. A good report. But I was not upset. I remember one time being in a situation, something suddenly happened, and people were freaking out everywhere. I mean, literally losing it, freaking out. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching the same thing. I'm right there. And I was just so full of peace. Man, if there'd have been a pillow there, I could have taken a nap. I'm serious. I was just as calm and cool. Why? The peace of God that passes understanding. And see, rather than freak out, just concentrate on that peace, because I know I have that shalom. See, God's my Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Not only is He concerned about me, but He wants to make sure that I am well taken care of, that I am protected, amen, that I'm healthy, and that I thrive, succeed, and do well. If you learn how to put on the shoes of peace and understand what God has made provision for in your life, man, that'll put you at ease. You know, things are going to happen in your life. Situations will pop up. Don't get all freaked out. Go to the Word. Go to the Lord in prayer. God, what do you want me to do? Amen. I trust your Word. You've given me your Word. I thank you for it. I'm putting my trust in you. Now, if there's anything else, I remember one time I moved my family to another state. The Lord had told me to do this, and I knew it was God. And it seemed like I didn't have the wherewithal to make it. I mean, I drove halfway across the country, and it seemed like Goliath hitched a ride. He's in the back seat the whole time, telling me, boy, I'm going to destroy you. You crazy. I'm going to mess you up. You idiot. This is stupid. How in the world are you going to make it? Where are you going to live? How are you going to do it? I'm just obeying the Lord, you know? And so finally, I got to the point where you know, the pressure is on. Mm-hmm. And so finally, I remember stopping in a parking lot, and this is the prayer that I prayed. I said, Father, I did this because you told me to, number one. I'm doing everything I know to do, number two. Number three, if there's something I'm not doing that I should be doing, show me, and I'll do it. Number three. And then I said this, God, if I go under, it's your fault. If I go under, this is on you. Because I'm doing everything I know how to do. And when I prayed that prayer, now it might seem like kind of a bold way to pray. But when I said that, the peace of God just came on me. And I thought, man, this is going to be fine. In fact, it's going to be fun. And it was. You with me? The peace of God that passes understanding. Everybody else around you might be freaking out, but you know you've obeyed the Lord. You know that you're standing confidently in faith. You have your shoes firmly placed on your feet. And I don't care what happens around you or what goes on around you, you can stand firm knowing there's nothing that can move you off of your faith. Amen? The shoes of peace are very important. Don't leave home without them. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.